Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. This week's SmackDown Live was a very unusual show. Very atypical of what a SmackDown episode usually is. And I say that because while it was entertaining enough, SmackDown usually puts the emphasis on their matches. It's the SmackDown matches that make SmackDown, which is the exact opposite of Raw, where it's all hype and the matches seem inconsequential or just repetitive all the time. This week's SmackDown, the matches were fairly inconsequential. What was good this week was the non-match content. And we started this right up with Mrs. Music hitting and R-Truth and Carmella sporting a new look. And people have written to me, said, well, you know, some people like it, some people don't like it, but here's what I like about it. I don't care whether you liked her better as a blonde. I don't care whether you liked her better one way or the other. If she's going to make a switch in her personality, I think it's really good that she made a switch in her look. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people just, you know, Dolph Ziggler, same music, same look, same everything, whether he's a face or a heel. Randy Orton, same music, same look, same whatever, heel or not. Sometimes I think it's best if you do sort of reinvent yourself when you make that switch. So, you know, kudos to Carmella. Now, kudos to R-Truth, too, because we've said on this show many times that R-Truth, in the ring even, still has a lot to offer the WWE, and he's very underutilized. And I understand he's, you know, pushing 50 or however old he is, but listen, the bottom line is, what's age if it's working? And truthfully, R-Truth is working. No pun intended. So he comes out with a talk show. Truth TV, all by itself, is funny. Just the whole concept, but it gets better. He calls out Daniel Bryan to interview him, puts on reading glasses to ask him the hard questions, but in the tradition of, I guess, Edge and Christian's, 10-second pose, they have to have a 7-second dance off or whatever it happens to be, which is pretty funny. Now, The Miz crashes the party, and essentially he's mad at R-Truth for taking over his show. And R-Truth says, well, listen, I mean, I beat you last week, and you don't have a belt, so instead of the belt, I just took your show, which is good stuff. If you want your show back, then, you know, we can have a rematch. Everyone in this segment was very good. Everyone was very good. And I think The Miz was especially good because after a good match, you know, really an entertaining match, it was an inconsequential match because we already knew The Miz was winning. But after a good match, The Miz makes a really interesting statement that leads me to believe that their match could go either way, Daniel Bryan's match with The Miz. He says the reason Daniel Bryan cannot beat me is because Daniel Bryan cares too much about what people think. I don't care what you think. Oh, big deal. You say I cheated. Big deal. You say my wife handed me a foreign object. Big deal. My feet were on the ropes. Big deal. I thumbed somebody in the eye. I don't care. I won. Daniel Bryan will never go there. Now, Wrestling Booking 101 says Daniel Bryan will indeed go there, and he will cheat to beat The Miz. But that's not necessarily true. because that could be the excuse, the complete excuse of why Daniel Bryan does fail to win, is because when he does have the opportunity, he does not take it. Meaning that his morals is more important to him than a championship match. So this sets up an interesting dichotomy between these two guys. And I thought the opening segment, Mike, was very well done as a whole. Hello, Mike. Can't get the mic, so let's get to Todd. Todd, what did you think of the opening segment?
I thought it was a funny opening with R-Truth and Carmelo doing Truth TV. It was pretty cool. It was different.
Like, I mean, it's a one shot. He lost it. He lost Truth TV, but it was funny, right?
Yeah, it was funny. It was pretty funny.
And The Miz, I thought, did an excellent job of explaining why he feels he can always beat Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you're absolutely right there.
So, I mean, if you're gonna open the show the right way, I guess SmackDown opened it well. I'll go back to Mike. Mike, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was a good. I thought it was a very good opening, and I do agree with you. I mean, you know, if they're gonna turn her face and have her act atypical of her character, that's the least they can do is have her change her look. You know, Carmella. You know, now they're gonna have to have her take it to an extreme. I don't know, somewhat of an extreme, but, you know, the trash talking and all that stuff, that's a heel thing. Trash talking, moonwalking, that type of thing. That's a heel thing. But yeah, and look, with I would love to see them some. I know they're doing the Miz TV thing, but I would love to see them give Truth something to do, like a Miz TV type thing. You know, because we know he's pretty good on the mic. You know.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of disappointed because I thought there's going to be something, and probably that something is going to be Daniel Bryan, that's going to cost The Miz this match again. And the reason for that probably will be that they're not going to have The Miz do Miz TV if he's gearing up for a championship match or something. So maybe they'll hand it over to R-Truth, who has nothing to do. I really thought that could be the case, but it wasn't. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with these two from here. But they did a really good job. Sheamus and Big E, you know, it is what it is. Well, I hate these type of matches, and I'll tell you why. Because when you've got a tag team championship match coming up and each individual member of those tag teams fights the other member of the challenging tag team in solo matches leading up to it, you can pretty much guarantee that the guys who come out on top are the guys who are not going to win when it's a tag team. So Sheamus wins, Cesaro wins. So that's pretty much written in rock, that if Sheamus beats Big E by himself, Cesaro had a solo victory last week, the bar's not winning. Unless the WWE totally breaks their mold on that, the bar's not winning. So let's get to the main crux of this. And here's some things that are, I guess, sticking in my craw a little bit. Shinsuke Nakamura fights Ty Dillinger, which in and of itself could have been a really good match because Shinsuke Nakamura has not had any kind of a storyline involving him since he's won this belt. He's U.S. champion without a storyline. His storyline is Randy Orton. And yet Randy Orton isn't fighting him. Randy Orton is just interfering in matches. And by the way, Shinsuke's a heel too. Now, this could have been the time that Shinsuke Nakamura could have gotten some heat, beaten up Ty Dillinger, which he did after the match, but it's not enough because it was a Randy Orton interference that caused all this. I just think it's pointless to interject Randy Orton into all of Shinsuke Nakamura's matches, even though we know it's going to come to a three-way dance for the belt. I get that, but I don't like it. Because I think it undermines Shinsuke Nakamura's ability to get over as a heel. That's what I think it does. And it screams desperation to get Randy Orton over. So I'm really not digging this. Then Randy Orton cuts the interview where he says, ah, I'm not going to fight Ty Dillinger. He just annoys me with the whole stupid 10 thing. This should have been Shinsuke Nakamura's angle, 100%. Now, if Randy Orton wants to come out afterward and pick the bones, okay. But not during. Because then all the heat is taken off Nakamura, even though he tries to get it back by giving him the Kinshasa afterwards and everything. The heat is gone. It almost feels like Shinsuke Nakamura exists so that Randy Orton can get over as a heel and Shinsuke can just do nothing. Just he's on a treadmill. It's very, very bad booking for your U.S. champion. So while the match itself was okay, Mike, I don't like the direction this is leading with Shinsuke Nakamura because he's literally not getting any storylines that make any sense or the ability to get any heat.
Right. And look, we've said this thing. I don't know how long his contract is and whatever, but, you know, if he's not getting anything done here and he's on that treadmill, like you said, why would he want to stay? You know, why? I mean, that's the point. Now, I mean, I would have loved to – I know he does that little thing when he comes in with his dancing and all that stuff with his hands. I would have loved to have seen him add the whole 10 thing to that and then do what he did. That would have made this a little bit more interesting because it's like taunting Ty Dillinger, and you would have said, okay, now they're going to do something with Ty Dillinger and just leave Orton to do whatever he's going to do. If he wants to, he can interfere in whatever match he wants to, just not this one, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, to me, it's starting to get to seem as though Shinsuke Nakamura is an afterthought. You're the champion, yes, but we don't really have anything for you, so everything that you do is going to really be Randy Orton's storyline. You're just involved in it. And I don't really like that. Todd, if you're the U.S. champion, my thought would be you should be getting into a feud with someone. I know it's going to eventually be Randy Orton, but how does that help Shinsuke Nakamura get over as a heel?
It doesn't really. Like you said, like you said, they don't have nothing for him. I remember back in the day, you have the U.S. belt. You had something for that person to feud with over a belt. Now you don't have anything. Like, are you just going to be?
No, now it's just a setup for Shinsuke Nakamura to help Randy Orton. Yeah, I don't understand it. And Nakamura deserves far better than this because I think if you gave Nakamura a good storyline with that U.S. belt, and I know there's going to be people are reminding me right now, he has a storyline. It's him and Jeff Hardy when he gets back and Randy Orton are all going to fight for the belt. Yeah, I know. That's not a good storyline for Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura needs to be a foreigner who has a U.S. belt and is waving it in everybody's face. And deep down inside, the fans know he's every bit as good as he says he is, and it's going to take a hell of a person to beat him. That's Shinsuke Nakamura's deal. He's not getting that deal. And that's a shame. Really is, because he deserves better than that. We got a segment with Becky Lynch attacking Charlotte during a photo shoot. The only notable thing about this is they are trying so hard. I mean, I'm waiting for her to kidnap Charlotte's dog. They're trying everything they possibly can think of to get you to boo Becky Lynch. Everything they can possibly conceive. And instead we get, well, he attacked her. She was attacked at a photo shoot, and now Charlotte can't be here. That's not enough. If you really want the fans to boo Becky Lynch, then unfortunately Becky Lynch is going to have to really, really, really turn on not Charlotte. Not some other face in the women's division. She's going to have to turn on the fans. And even that's hard. Because the Road Dog wrote a terrible story and insists it's a good one. And now you're stuck with all these problems. Well, you shouldn't have had any of these problems. And that's why I say laying the foundation for a long-term storyline is crucial. And you don't rush into it without considering all the possible reactions by the fans to your decision. So if you're sitting around that table and you're pitching this, someone has to say, wait. Do you think it's possible that the fans are going to take Becky Lynch's side in this? Because then everything backfires from here on out if that happens. So can we lay a different foundation? Is there a backup plan in case that happens? Do we have anything we can do with Becky Lynch prior to ensure the fans won't take her side? The answer was no. And you went ahead with it anyway. Because you were so confident that you have all the intellect and that you know what's right and wrong. And that the fans will just, you know, they're Pavlov's dog. Whatever you want them to do, they will do. And you were wrong. Now you got a mess. Anyway, Mike, I don't know what it's going to take to make Becky Lynch a heel, but it's a hell of a lot more than attacking a girl during a photo shoot.
Right. It's not going to happen. Now you couple that with what she would do later in the show, then maybe. But still, you know, I mean, think about it. Now, I mean, look, she's got this character down. Becky Lynch has got this character down. I mean, it's almost like a second nature to her. As I'm watching her doing what she's doing, and later on in her match, wrestling the way she's wrestling in a match, she's got this thing down. When you gave her this character, now it was muddled up in the first place, but she's kind of taken this thing and made chicken salad out of chicken crap with it. And really, I don't know if there's too much you can do to mess it up, but if there is, the WWE will find it. So, I mean, right now, she's probably the best thing they got in the women's division right now.
I would say close to it, yes. I would say close to it.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. When you see that your plans are falling apart and that Becky Lynch is, in fact, someone the fans want to root for, even if she is edgy, even if she is the kind of a badass, I don't really need the fans' adulation, I don't have any friends, you could still work around that. You could work around that, and you could make her an anti-hero of some sort. Now, some people are going to say she's that right now. No, she's not, and here's why. An anti-hero may start off saying, I have no wish to be a hero. I'm not trying to be chiss or show any fortitude. But they do the right thing, sometimes for the wrong reason. Becky Lynch is doing all the wrong things for no reason except that they want you to boo her. That's not the making of an anti-hero. That's you trying to force villain down someone's throat and fans rejecting it. So it's not the same thing, folks. I've had people write to me say, well, she's the anti-hero right now. She's not the anti-hero. Look up the definition of the word. She was the anti-hero when she slapped the hell out of Charlotte. But then sneak attacking someone in the audience, going to their photo shoot and beating them up. This is, we're forcing the fact that she's not an anti-hero down your throat. She's the villain. And fans are rejecting it. Anyway, let's get to what happened in Milwaukee, because what we got here, and I've talked to a lot of fans about this, a couple at length, and everybody seems to love it. Rusev comes out, demands to know what's going on with Aiden English, why he did what he did. Aiden English comes out and gives his justification, saying we were a great team, proving it with some video evidence until she showed up. And she ruined the whole team, shows some video evidence of that, and then basically drops the bombshell of, if you really want to be honest with Rusev, why don't you tell him about that one night in Milwaukee? Which makes everyone think she had, supposedly he's alluding to the fact that she had an affair with him. Here's why that I don't know if that's true. A, never said about us in Milwaukee. That's number one. Number two, they never were supposed to like each other. From the day she got there, she was telling Rusev, get rid of him. She was always yelling at him. He was always jealous of her. It wouldn't make any sense that they were secretly lovers, or they would have said, regardless of what's happening to the team, let's just keep this thing going. Right? If a lady's having an affair on her husband, she's not about to piss him off so that he'll tell. She's not about to tell him, I'm going to tell Rusev what you did, because then all he would have had to say is go ahead and tell Rusev what I did, and I'll tell Rusev what we did. See? Remember last week's SmackDown when she threatened to tell Rusev? And he was beside himself saying, please don't, when all he could have said was, if you'd make that mistake, I'm going to tell him what happened with us. So if that turns out to be the case, it's a stupid angle. Also, it's a stupid angle because it's been done a zillion times. With Lana, it was Dolph Ziggler. Then it was they tried to make it look like it was going to be Enzo, but then it was a setup. Then there was an allegation of The Rock, and this is the one I want to get to, folks. Go back in your WWE history books, and The Rock, making a guest appearance, told Lana, how about that one night in Wisconsin? Remember? Where's Milwaukee, folks? Now, I'm not saying that he's going to reveal you had an affair with The Rock, because I don't know where the hell that would go. The Rock is going to fight Rusev, and Rusev's supposed to be the bad guy because The Rock had an affair with his wife? That can't be the case. But here's why I do not like this, because this was a last-minute deal. How do I know it was a last-minute deal, you may ask? Well, let me tell you how I know it was a last-minute deal. Because last week, regardless of what that secret is, if Aiden English had a secret that he could have blackmailed Lana with, he would have done it last week when she threatened to tell Rusev what she overheard him say. Correct? Maybe it wasn't him. So he says, hey, remember that night in Milwaukee? I caught you with so-and-so. I'll tell Rusev about that. Okay. I won't tell Rusev what you said. Remember that night you and I did something? Okay, well, then I won't tell Rusev what we said. Either way you cut this, even though it's entertaining, it makes no sense. It's illogical. Based on you jumping the shark last week and having Aiden English have no way to prevent Lana from telling Rusev what she overheard, that segment should have never taken place if you had planned that he had a deep, dark secret on Lana. All you would have had to do to really string us along is to have Lana say, I'm telling Rusev, and have him say, I wouldn't make that mistake if I were you, because I got things I could tell Rusev. Then the fans would have all said, I wonder what that is, and Lana would look a little upset about it, and we'd have to wait till next week, which would have been this week. That's what you would have done if you had this planned. So I know you didn't have it planned. I know this was flying by the seat of your pants. Last minute somebody said, oh, and drop a bombshell that you might have had an affair with her, or that maybe somebody did. Drop a bombshell. And they forgot, well, wait a minute, what about last week? How come you didn't drop that bombshell last week or threatened to? So this was last minute writing. This was not planned writing. And you had a long time to plan how you were going to break up Rusev Day and how this was going to go, because this has been going on for a long time. So that's what's called lazy writing. Let's go to the old standby that the tag team partner had an affair with his wife, or he knows somebody who did. And I'm gathering it's the second one. Just by the way they handled it. But either way, it's a last-minute writing, Mike, because if it wasn't, as I stated, they never would have shot that segment last week where Aiden English was basically begging Lana not to tell Rusev and he had no way to stop her.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on this thing, and you're absolutely not right. But again, how many times, or I'll say it again, how many times over the past year and a half that we have said in any given thing that particular thing was lazy writing. It's happening way too often with the WWE that we're saying this about certain angles or certain gimmicks or whatever, that it's lazy writing. And when it's happening this often, there's something wrong. You know, there's something wrong. Now, granted, like you said, the matches weren't good, were all right, and I did enjoy them. I did enjoy the Lana match with Becky Lynch, because at least they let her get some offense in on Becky Lynch. Yeah, Becky Lynch beat her, but she looked halfway decent in that match.
Right, but let's just take it back for a minute to this rating, because I know everybody's like, ooh, this was a big bombshell, and I'm so happy, and now I can't wait to watch SmackDown next week to find out what it was. And I keep going back to lazy writing. I keep going back to, you've done this a million times already, and you've done it several times with Lana. And they're not taking Lana seriously as a wrestler, and that's why they have to come up with angles by which, oh, she's cheating on her husband constantly. Let's just say, for sake of argument, that they truly somehow prove, and Lana has to say, I'm sorry, I had an affair. That puts a permanent wedge between Rusev and Lana that the fans will never, ever, ever be able to embrace. So it hurts that relationship of, no, we're a cohesive unit. That, you know, I love him, he loves me, that's it. They didn't do this with Miss Elizabeth. They didn't say, oh, she had an affair on this person and that person. They alleged that Hulk Hogan was, or Randy Savage alleged that Hulk Hogan was trying to, but Elizabeth always denied it and said, no. And Hogan always denied it and said, oh, no. There was never anything like that. So we knew in the back of our minds as characters, Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage, that they loved each other and there was never anything bad between them. That's why that moment with Sensational Sherry was so important, because there was no deep, dark secret. There was no, we love each other, but we had a million affairs. There was none of that. We felt that bond between them, and that's what made those characters great. If you take that away from Lana and Rusev, you have permanently damaged their worth as a couple, just like you would if Miz and Maryse, just like you would if it was Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan. You can't do it, and you've already done it with Lana. So this is very deadly, Mike. So unless this turns out to be a total lie, which it could, unless this turns out to be a total lie, there is no good outcome from this.
You're absolutely right, Nate. And they haven't done it with either with Uso and Naomi either. You know? That's the thing, you know, they choose the people. And again, we've said it before. This could have been a huge deal, a huge face faction, you know, if they would have not been lazy with it and not done what they've done to it. This could have been a huge deal, and probably it could still be a huge deal if they find a way to fix this, which I'm not all that confident they can do it.
Nor am I, because they won't even try to fix Becky Lynch. When they know what the fans want. See, this is the problem. The WWE says we always give the fans what they want. We wanted Roman Reigns as a heel. We didn't get it. We wanted Becky Lynch as a powerful face. We didn't get it. We wanted Rusev Day as a team who really cared about each other. We don't get it. So don't tell me that you always give the fans what you want. You don't. And there's no good outcome to this storyline. Let's go through all the possibilities quickly. Possibility one, Aiden English and Lana had a one-night affair. This makes Aiden English look like a scumbag. It makes Lana look like a cheating bitch. And it makes Rusev look like a dumbass because he doesn't know his tag team partner sleeping with his wife. So what's the outcome? Rusev kicks the hell out of Aiden English. And what does he say to Lana? I forgive you and let's move on. And all the fans say, their relationship ain't that great. They're not a tight couple. I don't like Lana anymore. She's a bitch. Okay. Well, that's not a good outcome. Outcome number two, it's not Aiden English, it's someone else. And that someone else denies it. Maybe, and says, I did not. I don't know where Aiden English is coming up with this. And Rusev says, I believe Aiden English, why would he lie? And Aiden English is being a puppet master, using Lana, his love for Lana, Rusev's love for Lana, to fuel other people's feuds with Rusev, saying, yeah, that guy slept with your wife, she just won't tell you. And so Rusev is wrongly so jealous he believes it, and there's a big feud. Well, that makes Rusev look dumb. It makes the other guy look like the face because he's coming out saying, I really didn't do this. And Rusev, I don't care, I'm killing you. Makes Rusev look like the bad guy. Not a good outcome. It's a different guy, and he admits to doing it. Same outcome as Aiden English. Fourth possible scenario, it's a lie. If it's a lie, I don't know why you'd be waiting till next week to present some proof. All Lana would have to say is, I have no idea what he's talking about. The guy's just an idiot, and he's attempting to drive a wedge between us because he's jealous. And that amounts to nothing. So it amounts to Aiden English is a dirt bag, and he has done. We have seen him do nothing to indicate that he's any match for Rusev. Nothing to indicate. Possible outcome is the guy he reveals, he goes on to manage, I guess, like he would Rusev when it was Rusev Day. And this guy happens to be tougher and has a chance of beating Rusev. But again, refer back to A and B. If it's a legitimate claim, it drives the wedge between Rusev and Lana and the fans and Rusev and Lana. They're going to take Rusev's side, but they're not going to take Lana's side. And Lana's going to come off looking horrible. So where's the good outcome? Why did it have to be about this? All Aiden English had to say was, we had something going here until that woman showed up. And if you want my honest opinion, she was jealous of it because she has no career. She can't wrestle. She tried to manage Tamina Snuka, didn't work. And so she had to run back here after we were already successful and try to take claim that she's the one doing it, when in reality, she's the one who destroyed it. And I am more than willing to mend fences with you, Rusev, but not her. That's all. That's all this had to be about. With Lana saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm your wife. I'm doing the best I can for you. Rusev saying, I get it. I don't know what's going on with Aiden English. And maybe it's a setup for something else. Maybe Aiden English finds himself another guy to manage and we have, issues between those two. But no, it has to be about making Lana look like a horrible person or making Aiden English look like he's a liar. But either way, I've just told you there's no good outcome. Either Lana ends up looking like a horrible person and we permanently have a wedge driven between that relationship, which the fans liked. Or Aiden English ends up looking like a liar who has really no means of beating Rusev, at least by the booking that they've been doing, unless you want to make him the champion overnight like you did Jinder Mahal. But Aiden English hasn't beaten anybody of any consequence in years. So to say, oh, he's going to be equal to Rusev, that's absurd. That's an absurd booking angle. So there is no good outcome, and that, Mike, is why I don't like this angle.
I don't like it either, and that's the thing. I mean, you had something. You had a pretty good thing going, and you also had a pretty good thing going with Lana, you know, showing that she was, you know, she's in, you have somewhat of a good thing with Lana, showing that each match she wrestles, she's getting better and better and better, you know. You know, I mean, that's the face thing that you're booking, almost booking Lana as a face, even though, like you said, it doesn't jive because you're the way you're having her come off is as a heel, is as a bitch, you know.
Right.
And that's
so let
thing.
Me run this by you now. Becky Lynch fights Lana and forces Lana to tap out. Does that make Becky Lynch look like a heel? Because right now the fans are all saying to themselves, maybe Lana cheated on Rusev. Maybe she's a bitch. Oh, look, Becky Lynch is going to teach her a lesson. How is that helping?
It's not helping. And another thing, as I'm watching SmackDown, you know what I see? I see that commercial with Lana and Rusev in, what was it, Dollar General or whatever
yep.
it was?
Yep.
Now, exactly. that's... That's something you give to a face, people. You know, I mean, that's something you give to a John Cena. You know, and you don't see too many heels that are doing these commercials. Maybe the Miz could get away with it, but I mean, and then in those commercials, you can tell that they have a chemistry. Yeah, of course they're gonna have a chemistry together, but as actors and stuff in these commercials, you can tell they have that chemistry together.
And Mike,
if you raise a good
point, and here's why. If you're going to do things that endear them as a couple to fans, and one of them is that commercial where they're goofy and acting funny and whatever in a store, and she's saying, oh, look at my husband's a goofball, and, you know, and then you're showing them on Total Divas, you know, so in love and rolling around on the beach and everything else. You cannot now drive that wedge and make the fans distrust and dislike Lana unless you're flipping her heel. And if you're flipping her heel, that is a huge, gigantic, colossal, ridiculous mistake.
It really is. And look, I mean, that's again, but again, it wouldn't surprise me because, again, we've said it. You're messing around with Becky Lynch and you're trying to do something with her that the fans don't want, and you're going to do the same thing with Lana because the fans want Lana as a face. They want Rusev as a face, and at one point they wanted Aiden English as a face, and they wanted those three together. And it's almost as if they're putting a turbocharger on this, the ending of this relationship, whereas we said it before, this relationship shouldn't be ending now. It should be ending probably by WrestleMania.
Right. I don't get it. Like I said, I just don't get it. I don't get what. I understand that the fans are so desperate for a story, for a cliffhanger, for a plot line, that they'll grab onto anything, even this. But I think I've done a very good job in the last 15 minutes of telling you why this is crap writing. I've told you, A, it's last minute, and I've proven it. B, I've ran you through every possible outcome, and none of them are good. So how is it good, compelling writing? As opposed to writing that does make you look forward to seeing what's going to happen next week, but doesn't diminish in any way, shape, or form any of the relationships the fans have with the characters. It would have been just as easy to do this a different way. If you wanted to go with this storyline, I'm okay with it. But then last week, not this week, last week, when Aiden English was begging Lana not to tell Rusev, he should have said, if you tell Rusev, then you know what I'm going to tell Rusev. That's all. And have her say nothing. Just storm off angry. She can't tell him. We wonder why. What's the deep, dark secret? We're thinking, could it be an affair? Would Lana do that? We don't know. Maybe that's where they're going. So we're all captivated. Then this week, he could come out and drop the bombshell in Milwaukee. He never said it was a sexual relationship or anything. He just said, hey, why don't you tell him about one night in Milwaukee? One night in Milwaukee could be anything. Could be anything. That way, when it's revealed, it wasn't an affair. It has nothing to do with being a relationship or betraying Rusev. It was just a secret I didn't want you to know for good reasons. It's not that big of a deal. Now, they still may go there. They still may go there, but the problem with this, I'm presenting proof next week, business, is that Lana has a week to tell her husband. Now, I want you to think of this logically. Someone has basically accused your girlfriend or wife of having an affair and saying they have proof. You're not going to ask her 1 second after you go off the air, what's the proof? What's going on? And she's going to say, no, let's save it for the TV show. Eh? No. So unfortunately, I don't like where it's going. I can't see a good outcome, and I don't think it's going to add anything to Aiden English versus Rusev. because Aiden English has never been booked to be a guy who would give Rusev any sort of a hard time. So you're going to have to add some dimension to this. Simple as that. And I don't see the WWE doing it. Now, there are people who are saying, well, you know, it was kind of good they put Lana in that match because even though she did okay, you could always make that excuse, well, she would have done better, but she was distracted by what Aiden English had to say. Why didn't Aiden English come out there and watch the match? Why didn't something happen then if that's what they wanted to do? They didn't want to do that. It's just lazy writing. Who can we throw Becky Lynch against that the fans have some sympathy for? I know. How about Lana? Yeah, but you just destroyed some of the fan sympathy for her. By the way, we should mention Asuka and Naomi had a tag team match. And they're calling themselves the Empress and the Glow. Honest to God, the tag team division of the women's division has got the worst names in the history of professional wrestling. You have the Hug and Boss Connection, the Empress and the Glow. It's really bad. I'm sorry, it's really bad. That's kindergarten stuff now. So I ain't going to talk too much about that. Let's talk about the AJ Styles thing, because, of course, the cliffhanger ending that we're left with is that Samoa Joe ends up being at AJ Styles' house, and he has a doll in his hand, and he's saying, basically, you know, I'm going to ring the doorbell, and he does, rings the doorbell. And, again, a little bit of lazy writing for a couple of reasons. A, while it's effective to a degree, are we supposed to think Samoa Joe is going to go to AJ Styles' house and do what? Beat up his wife? Smack his kids around? What is it that AJ Styles fears Samoa Joe will do? Because Samoa Joe isn't a... If that was Bray Wyatt, then you would say, I have some severe concern about my family's well-being. Samoa Joe. So they're trying to make Samoa Joe something he ain't, unfortunately. He's not Bray Wyatt. He's not The Undertaker. He's not Kane. Those are guys that if there's... He's not even Randy Orton. If Randy Orton showed up at your house playing his current character, you're like, I don't know what might happen. But not Joe. So unfortunately, they're trying too hard to press this. And now it's getting to the point where it's no longer believable. It's becoming silly. And when it becomes silly, it loses some of its entertainment value. As anything does. I was really hoping they wouldn't go back to this. Because no matter how effective it was shot, and it was shot very effectively, and no matter how well it was reacted to by the fans, at the end of the day, it's not in Joe's character to do anything untoward to females. When has he ever done it? So what is it that AJ Styles is supposed to fear? Just that Samoa Joe shows up at the house and says, hey, here's a doll for your kid, and I'm beating your husband and taking the belt next week. See where I'm going with this? You haven't fleshed out anything in Samoa Joe's past that would make AJ Styles fear for his family's safety based upon what we have seen from him currently. As you have Bray Wyatt, as you have Randy Orton, as you did The Undertaker when he pulled something similar, or Kane. And that's why I don't think this was effective as it could have been, Mike.
Right. What made, even though we questioned it at the time, what made the whole Randy Orton burning the grave of Sister Abigail so effective is that it was well within Randy Orton's character, as they were trying to turn him heel at the time, and it was something you would think that character would do. And the reaction from Bray Wyatt, I mean, it seemed at the time that also Bray Wyatt was going to turn face, and the reaction he gave to that was the exact reaction, almost the exact reaction somebody would have given to that, you know, if he was going to turn face.
Goes toward what we have been told the character should do, Todd. So a character like Bray Wyatt, is shown to be at your doorstep of your family's house, that creates panic because this is a guy who's a little off center and weird and God knows what he might do. You know, God knows what the hell's going to go on in that house. That's a Bray Wyatt type thing. If he was feuding with Bray Wyatt, I'd say, wow, now that's effective. Feuding with Samoa Joe. And at no time has Samoa Joe shown anything in his WWE career or even outside that would indicate that there should be any kind of panic about him showing up to your house. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember back in the Attitude Era, you had the Ministry of Darkness go to Vince McMahon's house in Connecticut,
right,
like trying to invade or something. That's different.
You're right. It's totally different because then you have a fear of, I don't know what's going to happen. The WWE too often does this, where they have characters do things that are out of character. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it wasn't that Samoa Joe's going to do anything horrible to his family. It's just the idea that he invaded his privacy. It's just the idea that he showed up at his house. But AJ Styles has said, we've eaten together plenty of times, our families. You've been at my house all the time, lots of times. So that kind of takes away some of that. It's not invading his privacy if he's been there a dozen times. It's a former friend showing up at your door when you weren't there with no past history of ever having done anything untoward or that you could be fearful of. So I just don't think that's as effective as it could have been because it's the wrong character to do it with. It would be like The Miz showing up at your house. What do you think The Miz is going to do? Jaw jack with him? Tell him how great he is? Give him a copy of his new movie and say, and by the way, your husband's a lowlife? Big deal. So I don't really, people are getting gaga over that. I don't think it's that good. I think it's desperate. That's what I call this week's SmackDown. It's desperate. And oddly, SmackDown had no reason to be desperate. SmackDown has been very good. So I don't know why they're pulling out the desperation cards. I could see this if it was Raw. But SmackDown's been overall very good. They have nothing to be desperate over. So before you say, we got to make Randy Orton a sadistic pervert who likes to watch, make people watch the abuse he heaps upon wrestlers, we have to make Becky Lynch a villain that no one in the world could ever cheer for. We have to make Lana an adulteress or an accused adulteress for the 11th time. And we have to have Samoa Joe violate AJ Styles' personal space by showing up his house with a doll. You have to sit down, take a deep breath, and say, well, wait, what in their character indicates that they would do this? And are we making a mistake by pushing a character too far? So in the sense of Randy Orton, you're probably not making a mistake, but you got to keep him out of Shinsuke Nakamura attempt to get heat. Because if it's always Randy Orton's the bad guy, then people are going to root for Shinsuke Nakamura to kick his ass, correct? And that's not what you want, correct? Because Shinsuke Nakamura is a heel, correct? If you want Rusev and Lana to be this tight, cohesive, we love each other and we're a perfect couple thing, you got to keep making it appear as Lana is a cheating bitch because you've done it 5 times. And whether it turns out she is or she isn't, the very fact that you keep doing this to the same person starting to drive a wedge between what the fans think of them, and you don't want that. If you're going to make Samoa Joe a guy who would go to somebody's house and do, and kidnap his family or threaten them or hold them hostage or verbally abuse them or whatever, then you had better have done it before now because I've never seen anything to indicate that that would happen. Whereas a guy like Randy Orton, yes. A guy like Bray Wyatt, yes. The Bludgeon Brothers, yes. But not Samoa Joe. So I don't see how anything in his character makes this a logical thing. other than he's just trying to play head games with AJ Styles. But again, what would be the head games? I mean, if that situation was real, and that was my friend who now wants my belt, and he's been at my house 8 dozen times, I don't think I'm going to panic and say, oh, my God, my family's in dire straits. This is an emergency. Somebody call the police because he showed up at my house when I wasn't home. And if you thought he was such a psychopathic nut, why are you friends with him to begin with? So I don't like that. I just think it smacks of desperate writing. We have to do something to sell this feud. And all the feuds seem to be about people's wives, whether they're in the business or not. So, listen, I'm all for good storylines, but someone has to sit down and flesh these out and say, is this right for this character, this storyline? Is this the character we should do this with? Everything about this AJ Styles feud screams Bray Wyatt, but now it does. And Samoa Joe's not Bray Wyatt, so come on. Even if it was Randy Orton, even if Randy Orton did this, I'd be like, yeah, this is going to be great. Because we've already established how psychopathic and sadistic Randy Orton is. So if he shows up at your house with your family there alone, you got reason to worry. Because we've seen things in the past to indicate that you might. But not Samoa Joe. So that's an issue. So whereas the screen fades to black and all of the, you know, a good percentage of the fans are saying, oh, I'm saying, what? The big deal? I don't get what the big deal is. Why would he be in a panic about that? I can see him being upset saying, I know what he's trying to do. He's just trying to get in my head and he's pissing me off. Okay. But there's no dire emergency here. I just think it could have been better played out. Now, having said that, at least the WWE's SmackDown tried. Well, I don't think Raw tried. So I'm going to be giving SmackDown a much higher rating. But before we get to the ratings, let's discuss this a little bit about Samoa Joe. Mike, you understand what I mean when I say there's nothing that has been booked for Samoa Joe in his past in the WWE that would set off fans being panicky upon seeing him at AJ Styles' house when AJ isn't home.
Yes, yes, and yes. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned several characters you would buy it. I'd even somewhat buy it with the whole broken Matt or woken Matt Hardy thing, where it's kind of eclectic. It's kind of, you don't know what you're going to get when he shows up there. What kind of crazy crap is he going to bring with him? Drones and fireworks and trying to blow your house up and all that stuff. You know, you don't know what you're going to get out of Matt Hardy at the time if they played it right, you know. And that's the thing. Going back to TNA or Impact or whatever when he was there, you didn't see this type of stuff from Joe there.
I agree. And that is exactly why it's not as effective as it should have been, Todd. And that's why I say it smells like desperation.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It is desperation there.
Yeah, it's just, look, give them points for trying. It's better than doing nothing. It's better than having no storyline involved. But it's still not, I just don't find it acceptable because I just think it's lazy writing. The beginning segment, that's not lazy writing. R-Truth goes and has the talk show, Truth TV, thinks he legitimately should be able to do that because he's beaten The Miz, and The Miz has no belt, so he'll just take his show, which is the next best thing. The Miz logically comes out because his ego would not allow that. Calls out R-Truth on it. R-Truth says, I'll defend the show in a match. The Miz uses a thumb to the eye in order to beat R-Truth and then clearly states, I'm willing to do that kind of stuff. And Daniel Bryan's not. And that's why Daniel Bryan won't win because his morals is more important to him than victory, and that's silly if you're a professional athlete. Any way to win is okay with me. I don't care what you think of me. He does. Now we're left in that quandary of, yeah, Daniel Bryan really does. So will Daniel Bryan swallow his morals, cheat and beat The Miz for a shot at that title, or will he say, I'd rather not get that shot than to, you know, be thought of as a guy who has to cheat to win? This is a quandary, and we're left as Daniel Bryan fans wondering, what is the right thing for Daniel Bryan? What would I do? I might cheat, yeah, but then you're going to say he had to cheat to beat The Miz, and I understand what he means, that he doesn't want to be thought of as that, and that's typical Daniel Bryan. See how that works? We're anticipating what the character would do. The character Daniel Bryan is in trouble now because his morals has always been more important to him, lately at least. He was a bad guy for a while, but his morals has always been more important to him than success. He's always said that. I'm not going to stoop to their level. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Now The Miz has laid down the gauntlet. Stoop to my level or you're not going to win. And we're left to say, come on, Daniel, go ahead and do it. And then part of us say, oh, no, you know what? Maybe he shouldn't. Because that would spoil his dynamic as a guy who just won't do that kind of stuff. That's not lazy writing. That's good, thoughtful writing. Because it allows the fans to understand and sympathize with the character and wonder what they will do. The Lana thing, lazy writing, and I've told you why. Last minute, absolutely lazy. Whether it's effective or not, depends. If you're out for a cheap thrill, it's effective. If you're out for logic, it's ineffective. And the AJ Styles thing, desperate. Again, makes no sense. Done past history of Samoa Joe. The Randy Orton thing, Shinsuke Nakamura by now should be, hey Randy Orton, stick your head in here one more time, I'm kicking it off. But you don't want that because Shinsuke Nakamura is a bad guy. And the nonsense with Becky Lynch every week trying to do something that will make the fans boo her instead of cheer her is getting a little overboard. Nonetheless, I'm going to give this one a B-. Only because, A, they tried hard, and B, everybody who did these gets at least really did their job and did it well, Mike. So I'm going to go B-.
I'm going to go B- as well. And look, you know, we talked about the tag team. The only tag team that makes – well, the only two tag teams that make sense in this thing, in this whole situation, are the Bellas and the Iconics, because at least we know that, one, the Bellas were a tag team at one point, and the Iconics at least have a name that you can get behind that makes
right.
sense, you know?
And the Riot Squad, maybe, you know, and you know, that's all right. Todd, what do you think? What's your rating this week? Hello, Todd.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you guys to the same grade.
That's because he didn't hear the grade. Got to be paying attention to the show, my friend. Anyway, the bottom line of the situation is this: it wasn't a horrible SmackDown. It wasn't a logical SmackDown, and in many ways, it was a desperate SmackDown. But it wasn't a horrible one. We're going to stay on the air because we have something to discuss regarding injuries. And we're going to be taking a five-second break, and we'll be right back. All righty. So listen, we have two injury reports. One on Liv Morgan and the other on Sasha Banks. Now, the Liv Morgan thing, this caused a controversy, so we're going to talk about this for a minute. A lot of wrestlers went on Twitter expressing their concern for Liv Morgan, but also expressing that, and I quote in many of them, their cases, wrestling is a tough sport. This is going to happen. But Ray Dudley is one of them. Hold your head high, and nobody did anything wrong. It's just one of those things that happens. Incorrect. I want you to go back and watch the entire Yes Kick segment of that match. And do it in slow motion. And you will see that on the last two Yes Kicks, Brie Bella was not even looking at Liv Morgan. She wasn't even looking at her. She obviously is going to say, I didn't feel my foot make hard physical contact with her face. And I threw another one. I threw a second one. If you felt your leg make hard physical contact with a girl's face, or you were paying enough attention to watch and look at her in case she moved, you would have seen or felt the contact and said, I can't throw another one. I'm not going to throw another one. But you didn't. You threw another one. And that one connected. So no, it's not just one of those things that happen. It's lazy. It's unacceptable. It's unsafe. And it's unprofessional. One of those things that happens a lot. Bubba Ray Dudley's right. But it doesn't happen for those reasons. It doesn't happen because one person is just lazy, professional, and not paying attention. And if it does, that person needs to be called out on it. How quick was Bret Hart and a lot of people to call out Seth Rollins when he broke John Cena's nose? That's a ridiculous move. It's unsafe. He's ridiculous. He's unsafe. Can't put anybody in the ring with Seth Rollins. He's unsafe. But it's Brie Bella now. So, oh no, everything's fine. Not fine. It's not fine. It's lazy. It's unprofessional. It's dangerous. How many people has Daniel Bryan concussed with the Yes Kicks? How many people has The Miz concussed with the Yes Kicks? If it happens all the time and it's just one of those things, how come it never happened to them? So while I understand the group mentality of protect our own, she's still okay, that's not the right attitude. The right attitude is to call it out for what it is and say, I'm sure she didn't do it on purpose. No one here is suggesting that Brie Bella got in the ring and said, let me kick Liv Morgan in the face twice because I don't like her. Nobody's suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is Brie Bella had gotten lazy. She was not looking or paying attention like she should have. She threw a kick that hit, had to feel that the impact of that kick, and yet threw another one, still not looking, or she would have seen that the girl was slumping forward because she was almost knocked out. And then to add insult to injury, she goes for the pin. Now, that's a very, very, very odd thing to do when you know your team isn't supposed to win. So let me call her out on that. You know your team is not supposed to win. You may have just knocked a girl unconscious. So what are you going to do? Go into business for yourself and say, well, I'll just take the pinfall and claim, I couldn't think of anything else to do. She was hurt, so I figured let's just finish the match. No. Now, Liv Morgan kicked out. She had the ability to kick out. God bless her. But if she didn't, that would have ended the match. And the excuse would have been, well, I couldn't think of anything else to do. Here's what you do. You stall for time. Like Owen Hart did when he hurt Steve Austin, and Steve Austin was supposed to win that match. Did Owen Hart just go for the pin and say, well, what else could I do? He was paralyzed. No. He stalled for time. It's unacceptable. And this is the third or fourth mistake that Brie Bella has made, and the fifth or sixth that the Bellas as a team have made since they've come back, and it's been less than a month. So that's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form, Mike.
It really isn't. And look, you know, I'll catch one of the Total Bellas or Total Divas or whatever it was, and and I'll see them talking about the different things and training to get back in the ring with on one of them, and you would think that if you're knowing that you're gonna now put this into your repertoire as a move, you know, you would think that in your training sessions, yeah, they haven't been back too long and it's been 3 years, but you would think in your training sessions, you would say, all right, I'm going to start to work on this and work on this to get this down right so that I don't have what happened, you know?
It's one of her husband's signature moves. How can you not know how to do it when it's your husband's signature move? How does your husband not tell you while you're training to do it? Well, make sure you do this. Make sure you're watching where your kick goes. Make sure you know, if you do kick somebody hard, make sure you just either ease up the second time, or if it's too hard, you don't throw that second kick. If I was in the ring and I dead punched somebody in the face as hard as I could and I felt that impact on my fist, I'm not throwing another punch. I'm backing off and saying, oops. That one landed. Let me give him a couple seconds to recover from that. When I physically see that he's all right and he's ready to go on with the match, I'll put him in a headlock, tell him I'm sorry, and we go on. I don't just say, oops, that one landed. Here comes another one, pal. How's that all right? Second one is Sasha Banks, who they're being very quiet about what's going on, and I'm suspicious of it. Because the WWE's never quiet about these type of things, or they try not to be unless it's serious or extremely personal. I don't know which this is, but what they're calling it now is a health-related issue. That could be anything. It could be anything from, well, she has pneumonia or the flu, to she has to have an operation of some kind. Who the hell knows what it is? Or if it's even wrestling related. We don't even know now. But the prognosis on that is, well, you know, she should be fine for Evolution. The prognosis on Liv Morgan is not that. We don't know for sure. But I can tell you this. Anybody who was kicked in the head full force twice and complaining backstage of not even remembering what happened probably has a concussion. And if she has a concussion, she's not wrestling at Evolution. Which means a girl who has not wrestled for years comes back into the Federation for no other reason than to hog the spotlight because there's going to be an all-women's pay-per-view, has just put out a girl who has busted her ass for a year to be in that pay-per-view. Even in a minor role. It's not acceptable, Mike.
It really isn't. And look, I want to compare to what happened with the Big Show. And it was a Todd Pettengill or whomever it was that the Big Show actually connected with that punch he throws on the guy. And the guy ended up having a mild concussion or something after that. And then they ended up letting him go. But that's totally different because that was a planned thing. This wasn't a planned thing. This wasn't, okay, I'm going to hit you and you're going to go and we're going to fake this injury. No, that wasn't this. This is a girl that hasn't been in the ring. This is only a month back from being out of the ring for, what, 3 years? You know?
Yeah.
And
Mike,
obviously,
here's the deal. If she was watching, let's say Liv Morgan screwed up, and while she thought Brie Bella was going to throw four kicks, and instead Brie Bella went to throw the fifth, which she was supposed to, and Liv Morgan was slumping forward because she was going to sell it, she was going to fall forward, and Brie Bella was in mid-kick and just connected, I would have said, that's mostly Liv Morgan's fault. And, you know, Brie could have maybe pulled up a little on the kick, but what do you want Brie to do? If you know, she's in full motion and you slump forward, you fucked up. You're not supposed to slump forward when she's got a target, but you watch that back. Liv Morgan did not slump forward the first kick. Brie Bella was not watching. Her eyes weren't even close to the girl, and she kicked her dead in the face. Then, admittedly, Liv Morgan starts to slump forward, and what does Brie Bella do? She kicks her dead in the face again because she wasn't watching and didn't see. Wait a minute, she's slumping forward. She or didn't say, wait, I felt that impact. I really hit her hard. Neither one, and neither one of those is professional or acceptable.
Right, and that's the thing. This isn't the super kick where you know you're not going to be facing the guy or gal when you throw that kick. This isn't that. This is
right.
Actually, you know, you're at any given time during that arc of that kick or that, you know, that the arc of that kick, you're going to see what's happening with whomever you're connecting it with, you know, be it a guy or a gal, you know. Daniel Bryan, as he's throwing those kicks, or The Miz, as he's throwing those kicks, sees what he's doing. So Brie Bella can't have said, you know, can't have not seen, you know.
The reason she didn't see is she wasn't looking, but then that still gives her no excuse for saying, I didn't feel the impact, because that's bogus. Of course you felt the impact. You just kicked a girl full force in the face. You mean to tell me you didn't feel that impact on your leg? And then you threw a second kick without looking. You threw another kick without waiting to say, wait a minute, did that land as hard as I thought? Is she okay? Fundamental stuff. I mean, that's first week stuff. And if you don't have that down, you don't belong in the ring. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how you look. I don't care who you're dating or who you're married to. And I don't care how long you've been. If that's your new philosophy, if you've grown that lazy and disinterested and whatever, don't wrestle. But don't just randomly kick somebody in the face and then say, oops, that had to hurt. Here comes another one, honey. Ford, you got that one too, didn't you? Oh, well, I'll apologize on Twitter and everything will be fine. Own up to it. Don't say these things happen. Say, no, these things should not happen. This is my fault. These things should not happen. Yes, accidents happen, but this is 100% my fault, and I own it. That's what I want you to say. Because when somebody says, well, you know what that's like? That's like somebody traveling at 75 miles an hour down a 20-mile-an-hour road. Some old lady is pulling out thinking it's all perfectly fine because it's only 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. And you plow her and say, well, I mean, car accidents happen. Yeah, car accidents happen. But sometimes someone's at fault. It's not always no fault. And this time, someone is at fault, and her name is Brie Bella. And she needs to pay attention, and she needs to watch her target when she's throwing a kick force. She's not even throwing a rigged kick, because if she was throwing a rigged kick, it wouldn't knock a girl unconscious. I've thrown 1,000 kicks. 100,000 kicks, probably. I've never knocked anybody unconscious. Yeah, but have I hit people maybe a little bit too hard? Probably. But guess what? I knew it. Same way with a punch. Same way with anything. You know it. You feel it. You feel the impact, and you're like, whoa, oh, oops, my bad. Sorry. You don't just throw another and another and another and say, oh, well, whatever. And you don't go for the pin when you're not supposed to win and you think the girl's unconscious either. Oh, I knocked her unconscious? How unfortunate for her. Maybe I'll get the win. What else can I do? I don't know. What else can you do? How about you turn around and go, yeah, to the audience, or climb up on the turnbuckle, or make a tag, or do something else? Why are you going for the win when you're not supposed to win? Everything about that pisses me off. And then when I go on Twitter and read all of these wrestlers sticking up for her saying, I mean, these things happen. Either A, you didn't watch it, which I'm assuming that's what it is. You didn't watch it, and you're just saying, oh, well, I mean, wrestlers hurt each other all the time. That's the way it goes. It's a tough business. Yeah, that's true. But if you watched it, you would see that this was an avoidable accident. If you can't even trust her to throw a kick, how the hell are you going to trust her with something that could break your neck? How the hell are you going to trust her with something that could injure you permanently for the rest of your life? Explain that one to me. I want you to explain this to me. What would have happened to Brie Bella if that was Ronda Rousey she knocked unconscious and concussed? What do you think the reaction would have been? Would it have been, oh, well, things happen. That's life. No, it wouldn't have been. And why is Liv Morgan's career or her health any less important than Ronda Rousey's? The answer is it's not. Only in the eyes of the WWE, because Liv Morgan is expendable. Ronda Rousey is not. No way, in no planet, no universe, is this okay. And Brie Bella's apology is not adequate, because Brie Bella knows she is the cause of it. Not an accident, not on purpose either. Just unprofessional behavior. Sometimes it can be your fault and still be an accident, folks. Doesn't mean you did it on purpose just because you say it's my fault. It's my fault if I'm playing baseball too close to a house and I break somebody's window. It's my fault because I say, well, you know what? I should have known that's possible. Doesn't mean I did it on purpose, but I still have to own up to it. And I don't say, oh, those things happen. Sometimes when you play baseball and you hit a ball, it breaks a window. No. It's my fault. So until I hear Brie Bella say, this was my fault, I don't accept the apology. And I don't consider her professional. Not in the true sense of the word. She gets paid to do what she does, so she's a professional. But that's not professional behavior, and that's not a professional apology, Mike.
Oh, you're right. I mean, I've seen many a times the baseball get hit up the center of the diamond. And there's been times when the pitcher just couldn't get out of the way and it actually hits him. And it's coming off hot. You know, it's coming off really, really fast from that bat. And it's caused them to get concussions or get, you know, different things happen. But it's not the batter's fault because he's only hitting the ball where it's pitched. Now, it's also not the pitcher's fault. Well, it's part of the game for them to throw inside. And if the batter gets hit, but it's the pitcher's fault if the pitcher beans him in the head. It's the same thing. It's Brie Bella's fault for not recognizing that the first kick connected, and it's also Brie Bella's fault for going and, you know, doing a second kick. So it's like what happened with was it Enzo or was it that he got hurt or something with was it Simon Gotch or whatever?
Yeah, it was, and that's Simon Gotch's fault. Yeah. Yeah, and guess what? Everyone said this is Simon Gotch's fault. That's a good point, Mike. Everyone said, look, it's Simon Gotch's fault. You didn't let go of Enzo soon enough to let Enzo guide his own fate out of between the ropes. And so he ended up hitting the rope or whatever the hell it was. Simon Gotch says, it's not my fault. Well, I don't care what Simon Gotch says. We have eyes. Everybody is so quick to, oh, no, it's not my fault. It's no fault. It's just part of the business. I don't know why people say that. It's just, it's not true. There can be accidents in this business that you say that's nobody's fault. Crap happens. It's risky. Both guys are supposed to, you know, fall off the top rope and both go through a table, and one hits the table wrong and breaks his leg or something. That's risk of the business. You knew it when you were coming up there to do that spot. You knew there's things that could go wrong. But when one person is immobile, when one person is staying perfectly still so that you can have a target to hit them with your punch or your kick or whatever the hell you're hitting them with, they are giving you a perfectly still target. They are giving you their body and saying, I trust you. Here's my body. And you brain them because you're not even looking in their direction when you're throwing the kick. And then you don't feel the impact and you do it again. And then you say, well, that's part of the business. No, it's not. Part of the business is being a professional and not doing things like that. This isn't one of those moves that should cause an injury ever. So I don't know. I don't know what Liv Morgan's prognosis is. I can guarantee you, even if she has the mildest concussion you've ever heard of, she's not going to Evolution, because the WWE is very strict with these concussion things. Very, very, very strict with them. And they're not going to let her take a bump. I don't even think they'll let her come down. I don't know what they'll do. But she's not going to compete. And that's got and that's sad. That's damn sad. As far as Sasha Banks, again, we don't know what it is. So we don't know where this is going. We can only speculate that it's a health-related issue, which to me is either personal and she doesn't want anybody to know, or it's something minor like she has the flu. I don't know. But now they're saying an injury usually doesn't merit saying it's a health-related issue. An injury is an injury. Health is health. But if she's going to be out for any length of time, she's not going to get to Evolution either. So I don't know, folks. What I do know is this. Between lazy writing, lazy workers, and a lot of injuries piling up, the WWE needs to right their ship. They need to get their writers together. They need to get their characterizations together and understand what a character is, what a character would do, how that character would react in certain circumstances, and stick with it. They need to not worry about names over quality. You can't just bring the Bellas back because they're names. Even though they haven't wrestled and they're killing people and almost themselves, it's okay because they're the Bellas. We got to have a Bellas in there. Can't bring Ronda Rousey in to hurt Alexa Bliss. You can't do this on a regular basis. You just can't. So anyway, last word on the SmackDown mic is that I enjoyed it a lot more than Raw, but I still say there's a lot of holes in the storylines, and I still say that they went light on the matches this week.
Right, they did go light on the matches, and there was a lot of holes, but as you've said before, it was much better. It was much better than Raw, and that's been a prevailing theme over past however many months, maybe a couple years, you know, that we've been saying it, you know. And look, you know, there have been times when we've seen things happen. Like for instance, there was a time when Jack Swagger threw somebody into the wrong part of the railing and got him hurt, you know, that, remember? Now, that was sort of an accident because it was them being in the wrong position. We know when they throw them into the railing, we know where they're supposed to throw them into. They're not supposed to throw them into the corner of the railing, which is where Swagger threw that guy. You know, that was an accident. This whole thing with Brie Bella was not an accident.
I agree. It was, and even the thing with Swagger, you know, you're holding the guys. You're controlling where the guy's landing. You got to watch where he's going to land. Simple as that. So I would blame Swagger a little more for that. It's more of an accident because the guy could have, if he let him go enough time, the guy could have guided his body away from him if he wanted to. But it's still Swagger's fault to a degree. But this is 100% Brie Bella's fault because you have a stationary target. She may as well have been a punching bag. You have a stationary target to hit and you missed. Full force missed. Didn't miss by a little bit and, oh, bloodied her lip. That's an accident. Force missed and kicked her right in the head to the tune of a concussion and then did it again. Anybody who doubts me, go to the heavy bag. Throw a punch that just barely connects to the heavy bag. Just barely connects. Your knuckles just dust it. Then I want you to throw a punch that aims past the heavy bag, as if the bag is 5 inches or 7 inches farther away. Hit it like it's 7 inches farther away and feel the impact on your wrist and on your knuckles. And you tell me, do you know when you made solid connection? And if that was a human being's face, would you know, oops, I hit them for real hard. Damn, I better not throw another one. Or would you just say, ah, let me throw another one? Oops, she's moving because she's slumping down unconscious, and I brained her again. These aren't rookies. This is the Bellas. The Bellas have been around forever. What the fuck is going on? And then what I hear is, oh, well, you know, Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan are a little upset, but what are they going to say because they're the Bellas? So that's what it comes down to? Certain people are okay to be unprofessional? If Liv Morgan had have kicked Brie Bella in the face twice and knocked her unconscious and probably out of the pay-per-view, Liv Morgan would be fired. Or vilified to the point where she wouldn't even want to wrestle anymore, and all the wrestlers sang it in the ring with her, dressized. And that's why I'm so upset. Because Liv Morgan is being treated like a casualty of war because she's not being heavily used. But if that was somebody who was heavily used and you had major plans for and that happened to, shit would be hitting the fan. Situation was reversed, Mike. Liv Morgan would be gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen what happened with, now, it was a part of a gimmick, but we've seen what happened with Big Cass when he called an audible, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, believe what you want, folks. It's the world of professional wrestling where everything's a gimmick and everything's an illusion and everything's a work, and I get it. And it's also the profession where if you haven't done it for 25 years, owned your own federation, sold out Madison Square Garden 6 nights in a row, and walked down the aisle at WrestleMania, you have no right to make a judgment. Bullshit. I watched a girl who says she's a professional kick a girl as hard in the face as she possibly could, not once, but twice, when the girl was giving her a perfectly stationary target and trusted her as a professional not to hurt her. It wasn't this is a high-risk move. We both know it, but we both agree to it. This isn't the Undertaker throwing Mick Foley off the cage. This is a basic wrestling move with one girl doing nothing but staying in one position and giving you her body and an open target. And you not only did it once, you did it twice. Once, I would have said, sloppy and lazy, unacceptable, but whatever. You threw that second kick. Why did you throw that second kick? After you knew the first one connected full force, why did you do that? And then the third thing that pisses me off is, why did you go for the pin when you knew you wasn't supposed to win? Opportunity? Hey, what the hell? I'll get the win as long as I fucked up. That's called going into business for yourself. You don't change the outcome of a match like that. Get up. Acknowledge the fans. Make a tag. Ask the referee, what should I do? What do you think? Or, hey, referee, how about you get in the middle? I don't know. Anyway, folks, we will certainly see what this week brings. And next week, of course, is a super show, Mike. Any thoughts on this super show?
Again, we've said it before. I'm going to watch it. I'm gonna watch the super show from, you know, from Australia. I'm not going to watch the one from Saudi Arabia. And I'm going to watch the women's pay-per-view. That's how it's going to go. And that's... And I'm expecting that super show to be somewhat of a good show, you know, because I have a feeling they know that a lot of people aren't going to be watching the show from Saudi Arabia, and they're going to want to make this super show a good show, you know.
I agree. I think this will probably be a decent show. I do think some of it is a warm-up for the Crown Jewel show, but at the same token, there are matches here I'm looking forward to seeing. I hope we get some build-up for Evolution pretty soon, because right now we don't have any. And Evolution is really, really now, even to my skeptics. I had people, when I first said that WWE was tossing them a cookie, write to me and say, oh, man, how cynical can you be? Come on. It's coincidental. One had nothing to do with the other. Now those same people are writing me saying, you know, you might be right, because they're not even really giving this a half-hearted push. Yeah. Exactly. All righty, folks. We will see you on Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.